a plant which is fruitful that does not produce fruit for the initial seed that dies. If you take an avocado, I love avocado. You take that, you know, they call them the bones. You can't, like if you go to Mexico and you buy some avocados, you come across, they make you take the bones out. That's what they say. But the seed, if you take that seed and you plant it, the seed will grow, make a tree, and produce more avocados. But guess what? Those avocados don't benefit the initial seed you put in the ground. Okay? That's just like us. When we're planted and we grow and we produce fruit, the fruit's not for us. The fruit is so that God can bless other people around us. Now, we get the blessing of being obedient. We get the blessing of being a blessing. What is produced is always for the benefit of something or someone else. Now, it is true that you get some benefit by the anointing, but the bulk of the oil produced is for another purpose. Some people want to be anointed just for anointed's sake. Some people want the blessings just so that they can say, I'm blessed. Some people want the blessings so that they're comfortable. But folks, if God blesses you, it's always for you to be a blessing. It's always so that God may be lifted up and that others will be touched. And as I prepared this sermon this week, I really struggled. I was also dealing with several other church-related issues this week. And I found myself asking this question. Why does the church even exist? What is the purpose of the church? What is, if I could just put it down in one thing, why does the church exist? And I thought of all of the things that the church does, like teach. Is teaching important? Absolutely. Feed the hungry. Sometimes we have a food pantry and we feed those who don't have any food. Is that important? It is. Is fellowship important? It is important. Is worship important? It is important. Is praying important? Yeah. To help those who may not be able to help themselves. Is it important that a group of people go over to some people's house and rebuild their floor for them? Absolutely, it's important. All those things are good and important, but I believe, listen, the primary purpose, the primary reason for the existence of the church is to tell the good news. The church is God's mouthpiece in this world. We are to preach the gospel and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to tell a lost world of the eternal hope in Jesus Christ. That is the primary purpose of the church. How many of you like Star Trek? Star Trek. I was a Star Trek fan. They call them Trekkies. I don't ever claim to be a Trekkie, but I really like Star Trek. And they had this thing in there called the Prime Directive. Y'all remember the Prime Directive? Yeah. The Prime Directive. In Star Trek, the Prime Directive was to not interfere with another civilization until they were ready to make that leap and learn about star travel and all that. That was the Prime Directive, not to change the course, the natural course of a civilization. Thank you. The Prime Directive, rule number one, the most important thing to remember. All those things we mentioned just a moment ago that the church does, oh, they're good and they're important, but they're not as important as sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, those things that we like, the fellowship, all those other things, they fit comfort needs and they make us feel good. I mean, I really enjoy fellowship and I like that. But sharing the gospel has an eternal effect, whereas eating a meal does not. All those other things are important, but not as important as sharing the gospel. Those other things, they will actually support and help us to share the gospel. Did you know that people will listen better when their stomach's not growling? Yeah. Prayer empowers us to be courageous. So is prayer important? Absolutely, it's important. To empower us and embolden us and strengthen us to go out and tell the good news. Is worship important? Absolutely. Because it refocuses us on God's purpose for us. You see, those other things support the prime directive of the church. Tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, here at Dolan, things have changed quite a bit. If you've been here this next month, at the end of the month, we'll mark 6 years that I've been your pastor here. I'm excited about that. I'm really excited because starting in the March, April, May, June, starting the 1st of June will be my 7th year. Now, when I read about 7th year stuff, I get excited because I think God's going to do something, just start doing something really, really cool and amazing in my 7th year here at Dolan. Not because of me, but just because God likes sevens. And so I like 7 too. But things have changed quite a bit. If you were here 6 years ago, everything's different. It looks different. It feels different. It sounds different. There's a lot of different things here. Okay? Our worship style is very different from 6 years ago. Our furniture is different. I mean, we've got chairs instead of pews. There's paint on the walls. There's different. The stage is different. Looks different. We've got different instruments. We've got new instruments. We've got all kinds of stuff. Things are very different. The decor is different. Even the functions we have are different than the ones we had in the past. We've got new things. There's a brand new youth banquet that's happening this next weekend. Okay, Valentine's banquet. We've had those a couple years now. But there's new things, new functions, new outreaches, new mission. I remember not long after we came, from what I understand, we took a mission trip to San Antonio, and from what I'm told, I wasn't here before, but what I'm told, that was really the first mission trip that we had taken. And then we went down to Galveston, did a mission trip down in Galveston. This summer, we're going to be doing some mission work over in Conroe. Next year, should the Lord provide, we're going to go all the way to Illinois. Did mission work yesterday. Those events are some new events. So there's things that have changed and things that have look a little bit different. All those things were done in an effort to better position ourselves to reach the lost of today. Did you know that there are still people lost today that are not the same people that were lost 40 years ago? Okay, it's a whole brand new generation. And we're positioning ourselves as a church to be able to reach that generation. Not to make them feel good and happy and tell them everything's going to be all right, but to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ and that without Christ, they're doomed, but with Jesus Christ, there's an eternal hope that they can have. We're trying to position ourselves as a church to tell that message in a way that they can hear it and they can receive it. Prime directive, preach the gospel. At several points during this journey, I had to ask myself, was it worth the sacrifice? Because we've made sacrifices. We've made sacrifices to when we start, when you start changing stuff in church, there are sacrifices to be made. And I had to ask myself at several points, was it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth losing some people to make this change? Because I believe that this change is going to better position us to reach today's lost. Is it worth making those sacrifices? Let me tell you, I didn't anguish until I was sweating like drops of blood, but I was sure in agony several times throughout this 6 years and going through some of those decisions. And I was in anguish myself because I felt the struggle. I felt the pain. And I didn't like it. We've lost some good folks who have left the church. Some of them have gone to other churches. Some of them have just gone to stay home. And it makes me very sad. Now, I will tell you this, and like I tell when somebody is looking to join the church, and if I ever have the opportunity to visit with them before that, I always tell them this. I say, look, if the Lord wants you here, then by all means, we want you here because this is where the Lord wants you. Yes, we want to be part of that plan. We want to be part of the ride that you're going on in being obedient to God. But let me tell you something. I always tell them this. If the Lord is not leading you here, please go find where that is. Because you will be a blessing to that church. And if you're here in disobedience, I'm not sure I want to be part of that train. Okay? And I'm not trying to send people away. I'm not asking anybody to leave. But all I'm saying is, you need to be where God wants you to be. We've lost some good folks. Some have moved to other churches. Some stayed home. But my resolve is made firm when I ask myself this question. And this is hard. Is the primary function of the church to coddle the Christians or to reach the lost? Is the primary function of the church to keep everybody happy and make everybody just feel all goody-goody? Or is it to get out and get busy and go preach the gospel to those that are lost? And when I ask myself that question, it becomes very clear to me. Okay? I mean, we're important. Fellowship is important and all that, but it's not as important as getting out there and telling somebody about the saving power of Jesus Christ. That's the primary goal. That's the prime directive. That's the purpose of the church. If you're more interested in your own comfort, if I'm interested more in my own comfort than the lost coming to Christ, then I'm not ready for the press. I'm not ready for the crushing. Because what will come out will be some kind of selfishness. I'm being crushed. And I'm upset and I'm mad because things aren't going the way I like it. I'm not getting my needs met. I'm not getting what the church owes me. I'm not getting what I deserve from the church. If that comes out, I'm not ready for the pressing. And that type of anointing is not a good anointing. I will tell you this. You can ask the Lord to strengthen you. Remember in our verse 43, I think it was? The angel of the Lord strengthened him to endure the crushing. To endure the agony. The Lord strengthened him to endure that. Because that was part of his plan. And maybe you're here this morning and you're having to pray that prayer. Lord, I don't like this is not my cup of tea, but Lord, strengthen me to endure it because I believe that this is part of your plan. I believe that the church is going to reach some of the lost in this area, that the church is on the right track and they're teaching and preaching and people are coming to Christ and we're baptizing people at the first of the service and we're doing good stuff and I want to be part of that. Even though I don't like it, it doesn't feel good for me, what I see happening is good for the lost and I want to be on that train. Maybe you've got to pray that prayer. I will tell you this. If you ask the Lord to strengthen you to endure the crushing because that's part of what his plan is, he will do it. He will do it. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. And there's a reason why. Because he is more interested in what comes out of your crushing than he is in your level of comfort. If he was willing to allow his own son to go through a crushing and crucifixion for the benefit of the lost, he doesn't mind you going through a crushing either. And that's not being mean. That's not being hateful. That's just the fact that God uses us to accomplish his will. And I'll tell you, 1,000 years from now, or 100 years from now, or next week, this will all be a distant memory. But what we do in this brief moment will matter for all of eternity for those around us. Remember last week? You have a choice. You have a choice. How you organize your priorities. How you organize your attitudes and feelings. You have a choice. What's most important? How you respond. Whether you stay or whether you leave. Whether you get on board or you take another ship. Rebecca preached at a ladies' retreat this weekend, and it was about the anchor, and some of our women, that was kind of the theme of their ladies' retreat too. But in Paul's journeys, there was a time they either stay with the ship, because the ship provided safety. It was still providing travel, even though it was coming apart and they couldn't steer it anymore. But they stayed with the ship until they reached some land. In Jonah's case, was not so. Jonah said, "You got to get me off this ship. You got to get me off the ship because this is not the ship I'm supposed to be on. I'm supposed to be going to Tarshish. I'm supposed to be going to Nineveh. This ship's going to Tarshish. I got on the wrong ship. You got to get me off the ship." And it was. The people on the ship were thankful when Jonah finally got off the ship. Maybe you've forgotten the primary purpose of the church. Maybe you've forgotten what that is. Maybe you have forgotten what the primary purpose of the crushing is. And just maybe you've decided today that you're going to refocus and get on God's plan rather than your own. Bring it to the altar today. Bring it to the altar. Leave that burden here at the altar. Leave a new person with a new direction and a new purpose. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're thinking, well, this doesn't really sound very positive. I'm not sure I want to come to a Christ that's going to crush me. Well, I got news for you. You're going to get crushed anyway. You'll get crushed anyway. Maybe you're thinking, you know what? Just trusting Jesus sounds good, but I was always told that once I just had to trust Jesus and everything was going to be fine and hunky-dory. Never had to worry about it again. I go on with my merry old life, and in the end, I get the golden ticket, and so that's what I want to do, and that's what I've done. And maybe this morning you're realizing that there's more to it than that. I can assure you this. That as a Christian, this is my closing statement. So if you're asleep, if somebody's next to you asleep, wake them up because this is important. I can assure you this, as a Christian, this world we're living in right now is as close to hell as you'll ever get. But for those who reject Christ, this world is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. Getting people to see that so they can make their choice, make their decision, is the most important thing this church will ever do. Feeding people is great. Fixing floors is great. Going on mission trips is great. Fellowship is great. Worship is awesome and important and vital to the life of the church. Prayer is the bloodline that the church lives through. But I will tell you this. If we do all of those things and we don't tell people about Jesus, we're not fulfilling God's purpose for the church. That is the most important thing that we'll ever do. That is the prime directive. That is the purpose of the church. All these other things we do to accomplish that single task. And sometimes the decision is a crushing decision. Sometimes we get squeezed. Imagine yourself as an olive. Not so good for the olive. But what's made with the oil? Light. Didn't Jesus tell us to be the light? Medicine. Didn't Jesus tell us to be medicine? Didn't he tell us to go and to heal in his name and to comfort the hurting? Absolutely. By our crushing, God is glorified, and lives can be touched and changed. Folks, I don't like crushing. I don't like the squeezing of life. But I'm willing to endure it with God's strength because I've seen the benefits. I have seen the benefits. I've seen the benefits of Rebecca going down to Galveston with the flu, barely able to talk, and preaching and just pouring her heart out into this message. And we leave, and she gets a Facebook notice on the way home, and this lady just poured her heart out and said, "My life has changed. I've given my heart fully to God because of what you said touched me." Folks, it's worth being crushed. Question is, what comes out when we're squeezed? What comes out when we're squeezed? If it's something other than a holy anointing, something other than, if it's something else, if it's bitterness, if it's anger, if it's resentment, if it's all that stuff, you need to come to the altar. You need to come to the altar and let's get rid of some of that stuff. Go ahead and get squeezed up here, get rid of that stuff, so we can get out there and be squeezed and get good stuff. Amen. I will be standing here in the front. My wife, Rebecca, is going to come with me. One of our deacons and his wife, is it Gary? Gary and Debbie are going to come up. We're here. If you want to come and pray with us, we're here. But you don't need us. You can come straight to the altar. You see, that was the cool thing about what Jesus did. When he endured the crushing and the crucifixion and then the resurrection and went to the Father, he ascended to the Father, he sat down at the right hand, and the veil of the temple was rent in two, which means you no longer have to go to the priest to get to God. He gave you access. So you can bypass these people up here. You can bypass us, come straight to the altar and get straight to God. You don't have to go through somebody. But we're here because sometimes that helps. Sometimes it says, you come and say, you know what, I've got this thing going on. I don't even know how to pray for it. Would you pray for me? And if that's the case, we'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you realize, you know what, I'm not sure I've really given my heart fully to Jesus Christ, and I want to do that today. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I believe the Lord is calling me to this church. And I want to be obedient to him, and I do want to get on board because I want to be part of this church reaching the lost out there. Fellowship and all that's good. And I'm going to enjoy all those things, but it's so that I can be busy and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, whatever your desire is, this is your time. Father in heaven, help us. Lord, encourage us, embolden us, strengthen us, just like the angel of the Lord did for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in the olive press. Strengthen us to endure the crushing. Whatever our crushing is, Father, it's not there to hurt us. It's not there to ruin us. It's there to make a good product. Father, help us see that. Help us to be willing to endure the crushing in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?